honors our values, brightens the future of our children, our families, and our nations. If you want a country of shared opportunities and shared responsibility, you should vote for Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Together.
Radio.
Radio Free V-Day.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt, and we are finally getting episode 15-12 out to you, the listeners. Thank you so much for your patience, for your prayers, for your support, and for your encouragement. I hope that you've had a great last couple of weeks, and I hope you had a great Easter. I know that was 2 weeks ago, right? Well, I had a great afternoon with my family, and it was a blessing. And the following week, last week, we fully expected to go on the air, and then everything came unraveled with the situation in Oregon at the Sugar Pine Mine with the BLM at it again, trying to seize property without due process. And the phone was ringing, the emails were going crazy, and I was in conference with several leaders, oath keepers, legislators, groups, and Amron Core operators that are saying, this is going down in my backyard and we need some help now. So that is our mission, to make sure that we can stay connected, like-minded, God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots in times of need, can come to each other's aid. And that's exactly what happened last week. I talked about it a little bit yesterday on KTW 630, for those of you who didn't get to listen to that yet. And I'm going to bring some updates to you today on that. Still, they're just in a holding pattern. Nothing's going down now. It's not a standoff situation. There's a possibility that things could escalate, and we were hoping that cooler heads prevail, so we appreciate your prayers over that at this time, and I'll bring you the details on that. What a week it has been. Just my head's just been swirling. Lots of moving parts and lots of stuff going on. In the meantime, trying to get all my comms and everything together. I've got several speaking engagements coming up, and I'll be talking about that as well. And I want to include you guys so that you can listen in. And those some of those are going to be recorded, so we'll be able to share those with you. Don't forget, you can also follow us on Facebook.com/Radio Free Redoubt. And this is the voice of the American Redoubt. And I'm going to try to make up for lost time. So hang on. We've got several things we want to cover. There's been many, many developments in the news and in the American Redoubt and in the world. And we cannot cover it all in the time that we have, but I'm going to do my level best. And remember, during the week, we also keep you updated with things on our Facebook page and then posting things over at amron.com and radiofreeredoubt.com. We had a little bit of a glitch for those of you that listened to the pre-show broadcast in the afternoon, where we play old-time radio, and then we share some of the podcasts from friends of ours in the Liberty Movement. And our Podbean site, where we download the files from for WDFP, Restoring America Radio Network, that Podbean, it's showing a broken page. And they're saying it's working fine, but I haven't been able to download the pages. So we're going to try to work through that this week to get that up to you. And I know some of you guys have asked about some of the others are saying, hey, can we mix it up so we get a little taste of the different voices that are over there? And so we're going to experiment with that. Yes, we have heard your voice. Now, Oh, also don't forget to stick around. We've got a kind of an abbreviated, well, it'll be a partisan radio broadcast right after Radio Free Redoubt is over with. Talk about prepper communications and some news and nets and things that are going on regarding AMRON. And I'm working on some things I'm going to cover next week as far as conducting nets. And so we're going to be looking forward to that. All right, well, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. Go to 299days.com to learn more. From One News Now. This is old news, and I was going to cover this last week, but there's actually been some developments since then. So let me give you the backstory. As you know, the Houthi rebels have taken over Yemen. They are backed by Iran. There are airstrikes going on now by a coalition of Arab states with Saudi Arabia leading the way. Well, last week I was going to bring to you the news that a state-run broadcaster in Iran is reporting that the Islamic Republic, Iran, has sent a Navy destroyer and another vessel to waters near Yemen amid a Saudi-led airstrike campaign. Of course, in the meantime, since then, Iran is explaining this is just routine anti-piracy operations. Okay, likely story. But then, this week, they've sent an entire convoy of naval warships into the area as well. I'm sure it's all routine anti-piracy operations, right? So, with this convoy of warships going into the area, the Iranian army has its Iranian Army Day, celebrating with chants of death to Israel and death to America. At the same time, we're trying to broker deals and play patty cakes with them. Thank you, John Kerry. Thanks, Obama, for working a deal to let them have their nuclear program. Even though it just came out that the general, the head of the security forces in Iran, said they will not allow any inspections into those places. That would be selling out. And any talk of such thing will be met with hot lead, he says. So we are wasting our time negotiating with these people. In case you didn't hear it, in the mainstream media, the Army Chief of Staff last week said that the U.S. Army is at a 33% readiness level. This was brought to us by Sam Culper over at the Forward Observer. Good friend, fellow patriot over there, the military intelligence background. He's got a full story covering that over at the Forward Observer. And this is coming at a time when our military is also losing its Christians. There are several articles over here, U.S. military losing Christians because of hostile policies. Isn't that something? They're pro-homosexual. Well, here's an article right here by the Washington Times. Soon, there may only be atheists in the foxholes. You've heard the saying. There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, because when bullets are flying over your head, everybody starts praying, right? Get me through this. Well, they're probably going to be cursing God from the foxholes from before too long. Christians are leaving the U.S. military, or they're being discouraged from joining in the first place because of a hostile work environment that doesn't let them express their beliefs openly, religious advocates say. Michael Berry, senior counsel at the Liberty Institute, a Texas-based legal organization dedicated to defending religious liberty in America, said recent high-profile cases of military chaplains facing punishment for private military private counseling sessions that reflect the teachings of their religion could cause devout Americans who are qualified for military service to think twice about joining the military. Thanks, Obama. there was a veteran, female, former Air Force. She was arrested after going and taking a flag from a bunch of militant protesters screaming racist chants and walking on and desecrating the American flag. This happened in Georgia. In the Southern Redoubt, a military veteran was detained but not charged because the police and let's just cover the story here real quick. A military veteran was detained but not charged by Valdosta State University police after she approached a group of protesters on campus who were walking on an American flag, and she took it from them. Michelle Manhart, that is a patriot. How many patriots walked by that and didn't want to do anything? How many men walked by and didn't do a thing? Well, because you're going to get arrested. Michelle Manhart didn't care. She's an Air Force veteran and she was not planning to take the flag from the group, but she had heard from the group about the group's recent campus demonstrations that had been going on for days and wanted to take action. She said, "I didn't want anything like this, but I got a call from a student who told me that the flag was on the ground and they were walking on it," said Manhart. "I was just going over there to pick up the flag off the ground. I don't know what their cause is, but I went to pick it up because it doesn't deserve to be on the ground." And then, of course, when that happened, they went ballistic and demanded their flag back. She says, "No, I'm not giving it to you because you're going to desecrate it." So the police come. They said, "Give us the flag. It's not your flag. Give it back to them." She's like, "No, I'm not letting go of this flag." They had three male officers lay hands on her, and they had to put her in cuffs to pry that flag out of her hand. Now, there was a patriot who showed due diligence to protect the flag. She did everything within her power that she could. Clear conscience, and they're not pressing charges. I wish they would press charges, actually. Let that go to a court in Georgia. Well, what else we got here? Oh, we got some good news, guys. Good news from the Texas Redoubt from the Washington Times. Texas could soon be allowed to openly carry handguns. Now, how is this news? We're talking about Texas here. Actually, I just thought, this is good news. I'm gonna put the word out. Offer a little bit of encouragement, and then it just occurred to me. How can this be a news story that Texans could soon be allowed to openly carry handguns? When did this go away? I mean, I knew that they've been fighting this for a long time, but we're talking Texas are just now being allowed to openly carry handguns. A change gun rights activists have been seeking for years. On Friday, Texas House representatives voted 96-35 to allow Texans with concealed handgun licenses to openly carry their guns in public in holsters. A similar open carry measure passed the Texas Senate last month. Both open carry measures must be squared and sent to the Republican governor, who has indicated support for the idea. Oh, he has support for the idea. The idea is called the Constitution, Governor. So I hope you support it. Wow. How could this not have been? And there's 35? There's 35 liberals in Texas. Voted against it, too. TVOI News. TV. The Voice of Idaho, TVOI News, just updated the reason or the treason of Idaho Senate Bill 1067, which we've been covering. And we are going to cover this more in depth next week. Pastor Hadian was tied up yesterday with some things that he was involved in over there on the West Coast. in the Seattle area and was not able to come on to the air with me, but he wants to, wishes to, desires to greatly because, well, he's famous. He's got his name in the paper now. They're blaming him for, or actually, he's getting credit for upsetting the vote on this Senate Bill 1067. Stealth ratification. It's an end run around the Senate. The Obama administration is requiring all states to pass model legislation written by the Uniform Law Commission in Chicago that includes references to the Hague Convention, read United Nations, on the international recovery of child support and other forms of family maintenance. This legislation will subjugate American law and American courts to the decisions of international courts and administrative bodies, tribunals, and quasi-courts as it pertains to family law relative to child support and other issues. This bill, I interviewed Representative Matt Shea last week on KTW over the radio station, and they defeated this bill in Washington, but in Idaho, the communists are going absolutely ballistic. How you hate children, all the hate, all the misinformation. Because Pastor Hadian enlightened them that this could open up the door to Sharia law. And Idaho signing this would be subjecting themselves to the rulings of other courts. When somebody says, this is our jurisdiction, this child support case, this family support case, single mom case, we have jurisdiction here. And we're subjecting our courts to something else that doesn't follow the Constitution or the Bill of Rights? I don't think so. These nine legislators who voted this down to kill it in committee did the right thing. And they are taking a serious beating for it. But you know what? That's what they get paid for. They're in the fight. There's nobody that's going to walk away from this unscathed. If you are unscathed, you're not in the fight. Or if you're not unscathed, you haven't been in the fight yet. It's coming. There's only so many places, high ground. But in the American Redoubt, fight is on for liberty because they know this is such a strong, well, it's a stronghold of patriots, conservatives, Christian-minded people. They can't handle it. They cannot stand it. I got a PDF here I'm going to get uploaded. 190 organizations in over 100 cities bringing Muslims to a community near you. They're trying to fundamentally transform America in every way imaginable. This PDF shows Idaho on the list. Muslims are getting increasingly vocal and assertive and aggressive and even hostile in areas where their numbers are rising. And of course, we've seen all across Europe, then follows the violence. And we're fear-mongering because we're listening to the European countries that are screaming at the top of their lungs, beware, we went down this road, it doesn't work, it blew up in our face, don't do what we just did because you can't undo it once you go there. And people are listening, but those with a communist agenda of fundamentally transforming, fundamentally destroying America are screaming at anybody opposed to this, and calling them hate mongers, fear mongers, selling fear. So this affiliate directory shows the organizations which are bringing refugees into 190 cities. That's what it says. I think it's actually 190 organizations in over 100 cities. Why? Because the pay is good and the competition is fierce. They're all scrambling for a piece of the pie, and it pays big time. Government grants for handling refugees. And Idaho's on the list. So is Montana. So is Wyoming. So is Washington. So is Oregon. And wherever you are outside the wire, your state's on that list too. Somewhere. I'd be surprised if there was one that's not. I got to look at it again. Just amazing. So with that, will bring you over to Fox 519er for the Eye in the Economy this week. Bless his heart, he put out an Eye in the Economy last week, and then we had an emergency alert, Amron alert go down with Amron Core and put everything on hold. So anyway, I've played his last week's through the pre-show. I'll also air it after today's show before Partisan Radio. So you get a chance to listen to what he had to say last week. And then this week is right here, right now. I'll be back right afterward at the Voice of the American Readout. And there was nothing she could find. I swore that I'd be nice if you promised we'd be fine. We'll never go back to California. We'll never go back to California.
Well, everyone, you can breathe a sigh of relief now because the president says, and the Italian president says, that everything is okay and the economic crisis is past. But what about the clock quickly counting down as May 9th approaches for Greece? This is Sunday, April 19th, 2015, and I am your host, Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
In the days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, a globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
Welcome back, and thanks again to our sponsor, Mark Goodwin of the PrepperRecon.com podcast. Go to PrepperRecon.com today to get your survival supplies. Markets Friday took a huge tumble as the eyes of the world looked to Greece and flat-out cringed. Our own Dow was down 279 points, the NASDAQ was down 75, and the S&P was down 23 points. The root cause of all this? Well, most would say it's because the Greeks are looking at a potential exit of the euro on May 9th, almost 3 months after Athens promised to deliver a program of reforms in return for more bailout cash. Little progress has been made, and the risk of default is severely rising. The Greek government insists that they are still optimistic about striking a deal with its European creditor soon, but time is running out and hefty payments are looming. Greece needs about 1.7 billion euros to pay out pensions and wages by the end of April. They need 1 billion for payments to the International Monetary Fund by May 12th alone. We know they were recently able to make most of a payment due to assistance by the Russians, but all that did was buy Greece time. Now, the situation wasn't helped at all on Friday when the comments of the German finance minister and the Belgian finance minister both piping up and saying they will not give in to Greece's demands. They would stand strong in the face of the talks that are resuming sometime next week. As a final measure of desperation this week, Greece Finance Minister Yanis Varoufakis met with sovereign finance attorney Lee Boucher, who works for the firm of Cleary, Gottlieb, Steem, and Hamilton. Mr. Boucher is a highly experienced with helping countries like Greece to restructure sovereign debt, and even walking away from that sovereign debt. Let me be clear. If we meet the May 9th date and Greece defaults, it would mean huge problems for financial markets, and the gains we saw take place in the past year would be eradicated quickly, as we would see investors flee for the exits. Now, we have new news coming into Eye in the Economy. After I brought you my Saturday edition of Eye in the Economy Minute on AM 630, there was a big development in Greece's situation late Friday night. Now, Greece has an angel investor coming through. Well, I wouldn't necessarily call him an angel. More like a demon. Vladimir Putin has stepped up to cover Greece's bill, but only for a short while. According to Der Spiegel, citing a senior figure in the ruling Syriza party, Greece has posed to sign a gas deal with Russia as early as Tuesday that could bring up to $5 billion in depleted Greek coffers. Now, according to some economists, they surmise that the move could now turn the tide for the debt-stricken country. I don't believe it will. Again, we're robbing St. Petersburg to pay Paul. Reuters reported that during the visit to Moscow earlier this month, Greek Prime Minister Alex Tsipras expressed interest in participating in a pipeline that would bring Russian gas to Europe via Turkey and Greece. Under that proposed deal, Greece would receive advanced funds from Russia based on expedited profit, or excuse me, future profits linked to the pipeline. We're betting on futures again. The Greek energy minister said last week that Athens would repay Moscow after 2019 when the pipeline is expected to start operating. Yeah, fat chance of that ever happening. Greek government officials were not immediately available to comment on the Der Spiegel report. Of course, this being Greece, the probability of actual repayment is negligible, after the likelihood of the Greek default is astronomical and the $5 billion will do little to change the mechanics of the Greek debt sustainability. We're pouring money into a bucket with holes in it. Putin knows this. Don't be confused on this. This is only Greece buying a little bit more time. The Eurozone is teetering on the knife's edge. The IMF and the ECB cannot pour any more money into Greece anymore. The repayment just isn't there. Russia can pour money in, for the moment, although they are just buying loyalty for the coming global conflict. Russia knows they will need to have as many allies in their, quote, financial pocket before they can be in the actual reclamation of the original USSR. Greece provides a safe harbor for their ships and possibly a place to stage munitions and other supplies. Just to be historically accurate, an economic war always comes before a shooting war. Well, thanks again for listening this week and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Hi, this is Kim Jong. Your country no good to make friend. Why turn off internet? I was trying to watch interview on the YouTube.
And this is Vladimir Putin. What's happening for oil prices? Not so good for ruble. I'm hoping I don't find out you guys is involved.
Maybe you need go prepper. Recon.com. Check it out. Supply store. In case somebody turn off your internet.
Or could be turning off your electricity. These things happen.
They have a so good everyday carry concealed carry sling with patches more cool than a Dennis Rodman.
And having MOLLE compatible individual first aid kits with IBD, chest seal, quick clot, tourniquet, EMT shears, and much more. Even when I don't wear a shirt, I having IFAC from Prepper Recon with me.
So, go to PrepperRecon.com and click store tab on the top of the home page.
While you still can.
And we are back with segment two, brought to you by Survival Stores. It's the Prepper's Assistant at 419systems.com. Because just having preparedness items is not being prepared. You have to organize it, know what you have. Your food must be rotated, and you have to organize your system so that it is, well, it's there for you when you need it. And it's at your fingertips. That is going to help you do that. It is a software program, very affordable, very well done, very thorough, to help you organize your preparedness, when to rotate food, when to, how long you have things on the shelf and where it is. Good stuff. You can learn more by going to 419systems.com, and you can also see the representatives from 419systems.com at the Rattlesnake Rendezvous on May 2nd, Saturday, one day event that I will be speaking at. Representative Matt Shea will be speaking at. Dave Pruitt from AMP3 will be giving his suture class, and they will also be there with their booth. Fox 519 is supposed to be there. He's scheduled to be there, but something came up in the family, and right now they're juggling a bunch of stuff to see if he will be able to make it. So we're fingers are crossed. I know a lot of you guys are looking forward to seeing him and everybody that's going to be there. It's going to be a good time. Rattlesnake, as in the rattlesnake that's on the Gadsden flag. Don't tread on me. So good patriots there, God-fearing people, just really, really good, level-headed, regular people like you and me that are just concerned about our country and what's happening and want to prepare for it. And we're going to be talking about that. I will actually be giving two presentations. I'll be talking one, they're just calling it the Radio Free Readout presentation, but I'm going to talk about where we are in the country, how it's going to affect us as patriots, and what we need to do. And this really stemmed from where I began opening the Pandora's box about the underground, the need for the underground in the future. I've got a Amron Corps operator I've been corresponding with who's actually involved in the ministry. Now, I know something about the underground from a different perspective. He has a very unique and very applicable perspective in that he worked in Turkey in a ministry with the underground churches. And so we're going to compare notes. We're going to put this together and customize this training, this teaching, this knowledge to pass on to you and the listening audience, because we know the days are changing, things are changing, and the time's coming when this is going to be necessary. So I'll be talking about that, and then I'll be talking about advanced communications. It will not be a Prepper 101 communications class. It is going to be a session, a one-hour session workshop on advanced communications. So it'll be grid up and grid down types of communications. Some of the stuff you guys already know, some of it will be probably new to many of you. We started also talking about this Kootenai County Disaster Mitigation Plan. Now, they are working diligently, locally, the Patriots, on getting the language changed. Because unlike this Family Protection 1067 bill, they can change the language. They're being guided by this consulting firm that I couldn't think of yesterday, but is Tetra Tech. Tetra Tech. I've mentioned them before, and I think it's worth going back and revisiting. Tetra Tech is the consulting firm guiding the counties through the processes of developing a disaster mitigation plan, and all through it is climate change. Climate change, climate change, climate change. Everywhere, climate change. This is the narrative that this Obama administration, or should we call it a regime, is forcing on the people, stating that over all other things that are going on out there, besides the fact that ISIS just killed another, who knows how many, 100 Christians, Ethiopian Christians, several different groups. Some were thrown into the sea, some were shot in the head, some were beheaded in various different places all over the place. We got ISIS camped out south of the border, on the other side in Mexico. And this is something that I was going to talk about tonight. Jade Helm, Special Operations Forces, doing a big training exercise. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm just going to go off script. Not like I really have a script. That's my background, is Special Operations. And I've done other all kinds of whiz-bang stuff since then, as a contractor. And even as a contractor, I continued working with agencies and with the special operations community and active duty military personnel, training them. And I can tell you, there is a difference between your average grunt Joe and the special operations community. That is where the highest number of patriots are located. They're thinkers. They're not happy with this administration. They are the absolute worst group of people to select to round up patriots. And if that's the agenda, somebody in the planning department screwed up, to put it mildly. Judicial Watch came out with an article yesterday. ISIS has encampments in Mexico in cartel-held territory. That, my friends, is what Jade Helm is about. I don't know if you remember, several years ago, I should have pulled this article up, but I wasn't planning on talking about this yet, but I don't want it to go by another week. Several years ago, there were special operations. There were Black Hawks. There were Little Birds. There were Special Forces, Delta, SEALs, operating in and around Chicago. Now, at that time, it hit a few alternative news outlets who were screaming until they were red in the face that this is it. Training, military training in American cities. They are preparing for martial law. Here they come. There's the little birds right there. There's, this is it, blah, 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 blah. Okay. What you didn't know, and they couldn't say at the time, was that there was a very credible terrorist threat during the, was it Republican or Democrat? I think the Democrat, well, it's Chicago. It has to be Democrat party convention. They had a credible terrorist threat. So credible, in fact, they knew they had to take action. However, it was not enough to be able to snatch people up. It was one of those things where you know it's going on, but not quite enough where it's one of those, you know, I know they did it, right? You know they did it, but you can't quite prove it. You don't have quite enough to start snatching people. So what they did was they chose for a high presence.
Situation report.
They went with a high protective posture, defensive, offensive posture. And this was to let them know, we know who you are. We know what you're up to. We know that you're up to something. We're on to you and we're here. And, but they couldn't say that. So the alternative news media outlets, a few of them, developed their own narrative and had their own experts and had everyone convinced that they're doing martial law training in Chicago, preparing to start to round up citizens. The situation going on in Jade Helm, these kind of operations go on all the time. These massive training operations, like what they're describing to the public, happen all the time. I know. I've been involved in them. And I also know that if certain individuals took video of training that we've done with our personnel, preparing them for different operations, outside of a military base went public, the narrative would be the same. Look what they're doing. Look the kind of training that they're doing. Oh, this only means one thing. But see, I know different. They are going to continue. Now, this is what actually kind of caught me by surprise. When I saw Jade Helm, why is this so public? Why are they allowing this? Why are they sending representatives from Fort Bragg to all these communities explaining the presence and the level of presence and the type of operators they're going to be having in the area? It's no wonder that Texas is red, hostile, southern tip of California, hostile, basically along the southern border. But they threw Utah in there. Just, you know, to kind of throw people off. These kind of training operations go on all the time. They just don't go public with it. This time they did. And that puzzled me. I'm like, there's more to this. They're not, this is not about red list, blue list, rounding up patriots starting in June. Now, maybe I'm wrong. But it doesn't match up with what I know about the characteristics of the special operations community. Wrong tool. Wrong tool. It's like trying to take your lug nuts off your tire with a screwdriver. Wrong tool. So then all of a sudden, the stories break about ISIS. FBI just had called for a conference with the Mexican military, and DHS isn't invited. There's some discussions going on. There's some answers being demanded right now. There's something going on, and that's my belief that that is what Jade Helm really is about. Now, I know our government is becoming overreaching. I know that they have stepped over their bounds. I also know that history repeats itself, and I also know that at some point in the future, American citizens are going to be rounded up. And it will be patriots. It will be Christians. It will be everyone they've deemed a domestic, potential domestic homeland terror threat. But this isn't it. Even though I know there's other stuff going on, there's some really weird, bizarre, unexplained things that are going on. Like, why did multiple Walmarts shut down abruptly? From Florida to Texas. Workers are showing up for work. We're closing the store. Yeah, we got some plumbing issues. What? Hundreds and hundreds of employees. No notice. Shutting the doors. A Walmart closing. Multiple Walmarts closing. And what's interesting is that some of these local news stations did some research, checking, and they're saying, well, no plumbing permits have been pulled. But this is for plumbing issues. That's the official story. I know there's some really strange stuff going on that are hard to explain or you can't explain. Things that demand answers. So be ready, be prepared. I'm not saying there's not a bad guy out there. There's a real enemy against liberty. It is a force to be reckoned with. It is a force that we must confront at some point in the future. And I feel that the way that things are deteriorating, it might be in our relatively close-up future, near future. But also, we want to make sure that things don't make sense. Don't get so hung up on it and expend exorbitant amounts of energy on something anyway, that's, I think I'm done talking about that. I think my brain just said, stop, move on. Now, where did I start off with before I went on that long tangent? I think that needed to be said. That's how I feel from my heart. And, I just, you know what I pray for? I pray for wisdom and I pray for discernment. I pray that I properly use discernment because there is so much confusion going on. I was at one of the assembly meetings in Idaho listening to the steering committee for the assembly. And this one woman, very, very spiritual, very godly woman, very, she just knows the word. She's a prayer warrior. And she said, I really feel strongly that things are changing so fast that the Lord is doing it. He's going to send a spirit of confusion over this country where people will run to and fro. And there will be deception and there will be confusion. And it's going to come from the Lord. And I have been doing some Bible studies. Or is it in Jeremiah and Isaiah? Different things. And it matched up. I'm like, what this woman is saying matches up with what I'm studying, with what I'm seeing, how God has used his people who turned against him, or the things that he has done with his people. And I believe that the spirit of confusion is coming on us as a nation. And I also believe that it's going to become more intense. And that as believers, we really need to pray for discernment to see through all of this swirling, incoming, inbound intel and information, that there will also be a spirit of fear over that. And what we should fear is the Lord. And we should also take refuge when we see danger, because that's the wise thing to do. And we're preparing this place of refuge. That's what the American Redoubt is. And it's one of there's several pockets of conservative areas in the country. The American Redoubt obviously being one of them. So something is coming, no doubt about it. And I'm not trying to take anything away from it. And you know, hey, Jade Helm is worthy of looking at closely. But also, I want to caution you not to get hung up on a scenario and you thought that it was something that now it's clear that it's not, or at least it's clear to me, this is not what we feared it could be. that you almost don't want it to be wrong. You want it to be what you thought it was. And so you fight for it, even though it doesn't match up. It doesn't meet the requirements for seeking out evidence. And there really is no solid evidence. There's just hypothesis, postulating, and conjecture. So anyway, that's enough on that. Let's take a break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk about this Tetra Tech a little bit. I'm going to talk about what's going on down in Oregon. We're going to get to it. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary the way I see it. Well, it's cutoff time in the legislature, and it's time to take score. Once again, the Freedom Agenda has far surpassed expectations. In fact, we've done better in the last 3 months than we did in the last 2 years combined. Out of 80 Freedom Agenda bills, we had 52 receive hearings, 12 were voted out of the House or Senate, and by building coalitions around issues of principle, we had over 72 Democrat co-sponsors. We also had 30 national news stories as well. And now we have a coalition of Western states working together for lower taxes, less government, and more freedom. We even stopped the push for mandatory vaccines and more gun control. Look at what we can do together in the pursuit of freedom. We can quite literally change the direction of our state. So visit Freedom Agenda Washington on Facebook to find out how you can help. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican.
This is Shan Hemphill with Works LLC. We provide lifetime guaranteed holsters and magazine carriers for the armed citizen. Check us out at werkz.com or call 855-WORKS-01 for your custom gear needs. Don't forget to use coupon RFR at checkout for 15% off. Thank you and God bless.
We are here with segment three, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com if you are looking to relocate strategically to the northern portion of the panhandle of Idaho. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate will help you get relocated, and they specialize in retreat and survivalist type of properties, and they are patriots. Also, hey, loadedpantshanger.com. We're going to have a giveaway coming up in right after this show, so stick around. This is from the contest from 2 weeks ago. We had multiple entries. Thanks you guys for training with us. Really appreciate it. Let me address something here. What is today? It is April 19th. April 19th, Patriots. This is a significant day. If you didn't see it in the news, France just built, and they are sending, I don't know if it's the country of France, some investors, developers, historians, but with champagne, fireworks, and presidential blessing, a painstakingly built replica of the frigate once used to bring French troops and funds to American revolutionaries set sail yesterday for the U.S. East Coast. So with the celebratory send-off, the 25 million euro, it's about $27 million, the Hermione began its voyage to retrace the 230-foot frigate's transatlantic journey that it took in 1780. So when its namesake under the Marquis de Lafayette's command helped to lay the foundation of the French-American relations. Lafayette persuaded King Louis XVI to provide military and financial support to George Washington's troops. Lafayette set sail on the frigate on March 21st of 1780 from the southwestern port of Floras, arrived 38 days later in Boston. It played an important role in the revolutionaries' ultimate defeat of Britain 3 years later in the Battle of Yorktown with the support of a French army and fleet. Pretty cool piece of history, crossing the Atlantic right now. I would love to see that. Now, on this day in 1775, the shot heard around the world occurred at Lexington Green. And I'm going to read to you something that was written by Tara Ross. And she is from the... Oh, where is it? I just had it. Historical... We're going to find this for you. We'll find this for you. I'll get. We'll put the link on today's highlights and resources posting. It's called a History Posts, is what it is. And her name is... Tara Ross. Okay. It has been mere hours since Paul Revere ended his famous ride from Boston to Lexington. 700 British soldiers were en route to Concord. Their goal? They wanted to seize the weapons and the supplies that Americans had stored at Concord, Massachusetts. In the early morning hours of April 19th, the British troops ran into about 70 American Minutemen on Lexington Green. These men were led by Captain John Parker, a veteran of the French and Indian War. As the British approached, the Americans stood firm. But then someone heard a British officer shout, "Lay down your arms, you damned rebels!" Others heard similar variations of the same comment. "Throw down your arms, ye villains, ye rebels," or "ye villains, ye rebels, disperse, damn you, disperse." Multiple variations were reported. In the meantime, Parker later testified that he immediately ordered our militia to disperse and not to fire. Most of the men began to disperse as ordered, but some never heard the order, and none of the Americans put down their arms. No one really knows who fired the first shot that followed, the shot heard around the world. Some British officers were certain that it was a provincial hidden behind a hedge. Others thought the shot came from a nearby tavern. Some of the militia at Lexington were certain that British officers fired at them. Regardless, the first shot was fired. The British began firing at Americans, leaving 18 Americans killed or wounded. Some Americans returned fire, but only one British soldier was mildly wounded. The British troops continued toward Concord. They searched for weapons without finding anything of note. Potentially, the British could have simply returned to Boston at that point, but for one thing, a fire broke out. The source of that fire is unknown, but the American militia thought that the British were burning down buildings. They ran for North Bridge, and a brief skirmish ensued, leaving three British and two Americans dead. The British began their retreat toward Boston. Americans fired upon British soldiers the entire way back to Boston, where they cornered them in the city. In all, 300 British soldiers were killed or wounded during the retreat. By contrast, Americans lost less than 100. The Library of Congress summarizes, "By the end of the day, the colonists were singing Yankee Doodle and the American Revolution had begun." So thank you, Tara, for writing that. We'll post a link over to that. That began the Revolutionary War. You remember 1 year ago today, the Bundy Ranch incident, almost to the day, took place in Nevada at Bunkerville, of all places, versus Bunker Hill, Now, Bunker Hill took place in June of 1775, just about a month and a half later after the April 19th incident on Lexington Green. It was actually June 20th, so almost 2 months later, Bunker Hill happened. 1 year ago, American patriots squared off with a tyrant. The Bureau of Land Management, we found, has been used as thugs for corrupt government overreach. Right now, there is a similar situation going on in Oregon at the Sugar Pine Mine. Now, we have to ask ourselves, do citizens have the right to intervene? Are we going against God by going against the government? Now, Thomas Jefferson said, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. So I did some research here because I want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. When government fails the people, its trust must necessarily be forfeited and the power devolve into the hands of those that gave it, who may place it anew where they shall think best for their safety and security. In other words, people have supreme power. Governments are instituted to serve them. When they fail, replacing them is their rightful choice, including by revolution. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, if the law purports to require actions that no one should ever do, it cannot rightly be complied with. One's moral obligation is not to obey, but to disobey. If the lawmakers are motivated not by concern for the community's common good, but by greed or vanity, private motivations that make them tyrants, whatever their content of their legislation, or act outside the authority granted to them, while acting with a view to the common good, apportion the necessary burdens unfairly, their laws are unjust, and in the form of reasonable conscience, are not so much laws as acts of violence. Such laws lack moral authority. In other words, they do not bind in conscience. One is neither morally obligated to conform nor morally obligated not to conform. Martin Luther King said this. He wrote this, actually. I submit that an individual who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and who willingly accepts the penalty of imprisonment in order to arouse the conscience of the community over its injustice is in reality expressing the highest respect for the law. That's an interesting statement. The highest. He's expressing the highest respect for the law. When you refuse to comply with a non-law, like a department policy, such as the BLM, which is in conflict with the laws, with the higher law, the Constitution, and the state constitutions, and especially God's law, that is the highest respect for law. When you disregard an immoral or amoral or unjust or unlawful law, or an edict in this case. See, the Bureau of Land Management wants the surface rights to this mine. Surface rights that are clearly granted to it by several legal instruments. But the BLM wants the land, and they said, you're going to vacate the land by the 25th, or we are coming in. And they said, we're not going to. And they went to the Oath Keepers, local Oath Keepers group. They have one there that's very active. And there's some good people there in that local chapter. And they said, we'll help you. Why? Because the guy doesn't even have a court date yet. They are threatening to take his property, which he clearly legally owns. And they're saying, we're going to come and confiscate it because this letter here says you have to leave the property. Because they're saying that they have the surface rights. When it is very clear, I've seen the documents, they don't own the surface rights. The miner does. But they won't even allow him to take it to court. So without due process, they are threatening to take his property from him. Without due process. That's a violation of the Fourth and the Fifth Amendment rights. So what do we do as Christians? What does the Bible tell us to do? Submit? Just do whatever? No, the Bible tells us in multiple places to do justice. And in this country, the way our Constitution, the highest law of the land, it's very clear that the power belongs to the people. And it was written that way on purpose to protect from government overreach. Initially, the Bible does not counsel us to ignore the breaking of laws by the powerful. In fact, the Bible mentions justice over 200 times, more than just about any other topic. The Bible asks us to do justice and to stand up to anyone, including the rich or powerful, who do injustice or oppress the people. Indeed, one of the first things God asks of us is to do justice. We're saying, well, justice, that belongs to the Lord. Wait a minute. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Now, while many churches and synagogues have become obsessed with other issues, many have arguably ignored this most important of God's demand of us, as pointed out by a leading Christian ministry which rescues underage girls trapped as sex slaves in third world countries. I'm reading this to you from an article that I'm going to post. In Scripture, there is a constant call to seek justice. Jesus got upset at the Pharisees because they neglected the weightier matters of the law, which he defined as justice and the law of God. Isaiah 58 complains about the fact that while the people of God are praying and praying and praying, they are not doing anything about the injustices. Should Christians just pray for justice and leave the rest to God? That's not what the Bible asks us to do. Instead, Hebrews 11:33 tells us we are God's hands for dispensing justice, and God uses us to administer justice. We have to walk our talk and put our prayers into action. God demands that we do everything in our power to act as God's hands in bringing justice. It doesn't mean vigilantism. It doesn't mean taking the law into your own hands, but the law is in your hands when there's lawlessness, as long as you apply it lawfully. St. Augustine reminds us charity is no substitute for justice withheld. It's a very interesting statement. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. That's from Isaiah 59. It's the only place in the Bible where the word appalled is used for the way God feels. In other words, the only thing which we know God is appalled by is if people are not doing justice. And there are hundreds of other references to justice. This is injustice when you take a man's property because you say so, when it clearly goes against the laws of the land. Do we have the right to stand up and protect a man against injustice, even if that injustice is coming from the government? It is not only our right, it is our duty. But I will say this, there's got to be a time when you have the citizens must always, always be under a higher authority. You have the right to self-defense. You don't have to answer to anybody for that. The Bible, the Scriptures itself, tells you have the right to defend yourself. And so do our nation's laws, until, of course, they change them. But I'm going to talk about this. There's a right way to do this. There's also a transitional period that you have to make a decision. We're going to talk about that, because you want to make sure that what you're doing is righteous resistance and not rebellion. So, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute, and I'll wrap up talking about that. This is the Voice of the American Readout.
Look, Lefty, a don't tread on me flag. There's got to be cannons here.
Meth head, check out the bedroom dresser and closet. What's the count, meth head?
Nothing, Lefty. Nothing in the drawers, nothing in the closet corners, nothing under the mattress, and no safe.
Store your handgun, your rifle, or your cachet bag of valuables amidst your clothing and out of plain view. Loaded Pants Hanger offers easy accessibility to your guns and valuables, but to unsuspecting eyes, concealment makes them invisible. See our product line, customized by handgun caliber, at loadedpantshanger.com.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Segment 4 on Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too. Thank you for being with us. This segment is brought to you by AMP3 Medical. You can go to amp-3.net and go to their website and check them out. That's the Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. They sell and distribute medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. And Dave from AMP3 will be teaching that suture class that I was telling you about on May 2nd in Prosser, Washington. Click on that flyer to learn how you can get involved. And in fact, next weekend, they're going to be at PrepperCon Friday, April 24th and Saturday, April 25th. And I also want to remind you guys that there is an event you definitely don't want to miss, God and Country Celebration up in Marble, Washington. I've got the information here as soon as I can find it because I have it, and now I'm stalling because I don't see it, and it's somewhere here. Now, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to stand against tyranny and corruption and the situation where they are coming into these towns and they are telling them, you must fill out this new disaster mitigation plan, and it's just littered with climate change. And this climate change stuff is driven by somebody higher, but by Tetra Tech, this contractor. Now, the folks in Kootenai County have basically removed all of the references to climate change, but here's the thing. They may not get it approved. There's an article by naturalnews.com that says FEMA says no federal funds for disaster preparedness will go to states that deny the official climate change narrative. So if you remove the climate change language, remember, when your county comes with a bill that everybody agrees on, you send it forward, FEMA has to approve it. So there's a very high probability this is going to get kicked back. No funds for you because you removed all the climate change stuff, and everybody knows that is the biggest threat facing America. It is the number one, according to Obama, his own purple lips said, the number one national security threat to the United States is climate change. Climate change. And Tetra Tech's got their marching orders. Helping all of these counties set up. Now, who's Tetra Tech? So glad you asked. Because if you haven't been paying attention, they acquired mining and engineering companies in Australia, which they expect to enhance their technical expertise in the mining and minerals processing sector and expand services in Australia to serve as a gateway to new markets across Asia and Africa. Interesting. Tetra Tech has a board of directors. They have two companies, Tetra Tech and Environmental Management and Planning Solutions. They are preparing BLM and Forest Service resource management plans. BLM, Bureau of Land Management. These folks are involved in mines and mining. Environmental impact statements, environmental assessments, and other reports. It's not some small environmental company. Tetra Tech has 13,000 employees around the world. They also own 25 other companies. They are involved in the mining business, natural resources. Hugh Grant, the chairman, He's also the president and CEO of Monsanto. Of course, they took that part out of his bio on Tetra Tech's website. Kenneth Johnson is a director of Alaska Air Group, which owns Coeur d'Alene Mines. And they are working with the BLM, advising them and the Forest Service for resource management. Now, all of a sudden, the BLM decides it's got to have this mine in an area where 10 to 14% of the gold has been pulled out of those mountains. Now, we have BLM with ties to Tetra Tech that are being used to strong-arm these people off of their mine claim without due process in violation of the Constitution. And now local patriots have stood up. Local patriots have stood in the gap to say, we will not allow this, not till he has his day in court. Hey, if this goes to court and they say, no, actually BLM's wrong. You forgot this little detail over here. And this document here clearly says when you bought this mine, the BLM has full rights and they can take anything off the property that they tell you to. And if we discover that, hey, then fine. But guess what? He got a chance to present his case to the courts. They're trying to take it without him being able to present his case to the courts. Just take it. And then what happens, and this is the mine owner was interviewed, and he said, no, they take land all the time. And then they fight the BLM, and then they win. But then it takes years for you to get your stuff back. And who knows how much expense and lost production and everything else. This is a working mine. This is just bullying tactics. This is overreach. This is tyranny. Now, the local oath keepers there have every right to stand up against tyranny. But right now, they're just a group of armed citizens, former military and former law enforcement, saying we're going to protect this guy's rights. They're the first responders. There's a thing called the incident command system. First on scene is in charge until he's relieved by a higher authority. So it's at this point I would strongly advise the local oath keepers there to not try to go this alone. You must have the covering of patriot legislators and other elected officials and sheriffs and clergy. You need prayer covering. You need lawyers that know the law and the Constitution and all this stuff. You need a coalition of people to be brought together. The Coalition of Western States was formed right after Bundy Ranch. They had a response system put in place. So if this happened again, this body of experts, of lawyers, lawmakers, elected officials, law enforcers, sheriffs, clergy, they would come together like a NATO, like a mini NATO. They would all come together to rally around this person. And there you have legal, moral covering. You have legitimacy. Now, you can argue that you have the right to stand up and protect the mine and the miners. But if the BLM decides to reinforce themselves with U.S. Marshals and FBI tactical teams and come rolling in there with 80 guys against your 12 or however many you have, 12, 20, 30, it doesn't matter. They're going to make sure that they come in there with at least 4 to 5 times more than what you have. And either you're going to die trying to hold them off, or some of you will die and some of you will be arrested. And then in the deep, remote, mountainous, or you guys are just going to say, look, this ain't worth dying over, so we're going to step aside. Then what are you going to do? Then you're going to call some people to get some people involved. Now is the time for you to be getting people involved. I truly believe that legitimate covering of presence of leadership at the Bundy Ranch situation, besides God's hand over that, that a shot wasn't fired. But right now, the BLM is saying that they're not going to take any enforcement action. Let's hope that's true. But we also know that the BLM doesn't have a track record for honesty and for being on the level. We know that they've used underhanded tactics. They have been the thugs to carry out another hidden agenda. And when they come in, they're going to be bringing a lot of firepower. They are not going to do the same thing that they did in Bundy Ranch. I mentioned this last year. Do not plan for the next Bundy Ranch, or don't plan for the last one. You plan for the next one, because it won't be the same. They will not use the same tactics. They will not do it the same. Now, this is where the leadership of the Oath Keepers needs to reach out to some people outside their area to start forming some type of group that will support them and back them in every way. The Coalition of Western States is the one that I strongly recommend, because Senator Michelle Fiore, Senator Jennifer Fielder, Representative Michelle Fiore, Representative Matt Shea, Representative Dave Taylor. Those are the ones that I can think of just off the top of my head. Pastor Barry Bird, Pastor Sharam Hadian, Sheriff Mack. Those are just some more that I can name off the top of my head. Those are heavy hitters. Those are powerful people with a lot of clout. Those are the kind of people that you want interceding for you when they decide to come in with enforcement and you're going to stand against them. Those are the kind of people that militias and armed citizens that want to help protect that minor can be under their authority. But you must have, the Oath Keepers must at some point be willing to come under a higher authority and not claim to be the highest authority. You need that covering, because you want to make sure you do this right. You want to make sure you're in the right. And you can be right and still do it wrong. And so, anyway, interesting developments in our country, interesting crossroads that we're at in many different areas. So we need to be praying for our Christian leadership who are willing to stand, because there are not that many of them, but there's a significant number of them when they all stand together. They've all vowed to cover down for each other and to stand toe-to-toe against the tyrant in the future. So anyway, that's pretty much all I got. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up, guys. Went a little bit long because there's some things that I just really, I don't know, I kind of drifted off some of the notes that I had on this, but I try to pray before I do these shows, and maybe that's just the direction that I got pulled because I had to, because it needed to be. We are to do justice and we are to do right, but we are always supposed to be under a higher authority. And with that, you have a blessed, blessed week. Remember to keep us in your prayers. Thank you so much for your support. We really, really appreciate it and need it. And I can't tell you enough. If you're blessed by Radio Free Readout, if you're encouraged by it and you want to help support us, we will gladly, we'll be very grateful for your support. Prayers, letters of encouragement, and your financial support really helps with the growing costs. So God bless all of you, and we will talk to you next week. And I have no further. This is the voice of the American Readout. Good night.